Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night!
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome to Dave's Gone By on this Thanksgiving night. Hope you're all celebrating. Hope you all have something good to celebrate. I know it's been a tough year, but we're muddling through it. And even in the bad times, there's usually reason to be grateful. We can be thankful gas prices only went up to $2.50 instead of $8.50. There's something. We can be thankful we're in Long Island and not Louisiana, or Mississippi, or Iraq, or Iran, or New Jersey. Not that New Jersey's so terrible, it's just New Jersey. Let's be grateful George Bush can't be elected again. Let's be thankful they finally caught those animals doing the home invasions in Nassau and Suffolk County. Let's be thankful, some of us, that we have nice homes worth invading, or if not, apartments that would cost three times as much in Manhattan. Let's be appreciative that not every reality TV show became a hit. Let's be grateful that for every all-night infomercial and political campaign attack ad, there's another Simpsons episode or South Park. Let's be grateful that although the world must suffer from two Simpson sisters, at least there's only one Ashton Kutcher. Let's be thankful that men who look like Paul Giamatti and Jason Schwartzman can be movie stars. And let's be equally grateful that female movie stars still look like Keira Knightley and Naomi Watts. And let's be grateful that people like Bob Dylan and U2 and Richard Thompson and Nick Cave and Neil Young are still making music. And the same goes for Tom Paxton and Jill Sobule and Chris Smither and October Project. All these terrific musicians who've appeared on this program. But tonight, I'm most grateful for the one and only Christine Lavin. Almost 25 years making great folk and pop music. She was my guest last week, and it went so well, she's back. I consider it a Thanksgiving gift to me and you, my cherished listeners. She's in the studio, guitar and all. Some more fun and music tonight with one of the most beloved performers on the folk scene, Christine Lavin. And she will join us right after I remind you that Dave's Gone By is brought to you by Hewlett Minuteman Press, by MortgagesRock.com, and by Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Also, reminding you that especially during the winter months when Dave's Gone By goes on after dark, the signal tends to be weaker because they have to turn the AM frequency down, or something like that. I don't get the whole technical explanation. But when the sun goes down, AM radio has to ease the wattage or else the signal could bounce all the way to Kansas, which is why during summer, when it's light out till almost 9, Dave's Gone By tends to sound stronger, go further. But come the clock change, it's a little harder to tune the show in. No worries, we're streaming live on the internet at am1240wgbb.com, and you can always buy a copy of an older show by going to my website, davesgoneby.org. And let me tell you, you should probably grab last week's and this week's episode with Christine Lavin. We're talking serious keepers here. And we will keep her here for another hour tonight on Dave's Gone By. Another Lavin Lovin right after this.
And Dave Lefkowitz is here for the play-by-play. The play-by-play-by-play by Dave in his book of plays, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Comedies, satirical, silly, sad, and strange, all collected in a great-looking book. Just $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Email davesgoneby at AOL.com or visit davesgoneby.org for Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Da-da-da-da-da-da! Play Dave! They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway, and you can see them shine off Broadway too. And if you love the theater scene, you need this special magazine. Performing Arts Insider is for you. Everything you want to know about theater, cabaret, opera, and dance. 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511 or performingartsinsider.com.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and welcome back for the second week in a row, my guest, Christine Lavin.
Going backward, what was the first song you ever wrote? It doesn't have to be a great one.
No, it's cool. It's called The World is Coming to an End.
There you go.
And I remember one verse, because I grew up this military school, and they would have these dances, and they would bring girls in from girls' schools, and it was always a big deal. And so one of the verses of the song went, you've got a big date for the dance, ba-bum, bum, ba-bum, but now you've got a hole in your pants, ba-bum, 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 the world is coming to an end.
Cute. Okay. And you were...
I was 13.
Cool. That is pretty good.
Yeah. So even back then, I showed signs of having a twisted sense of humor.
After the Baker years and after when you really made the decision to say, I'm going to do this full time. Mm-hmm. And did you have the record label at that point? Were you on Rounder, first of all, was that it?
Boy, it's so many years ago. Actually, I produced the Future Fossils record by myself. I recorded it in Brooklyn in Mark Dan's fourth floor attic recording studio. And I sent it to Rounder, and they rejected it. And but then I sent it to different radio stations. I sent it to all the radio stations that I knew of that played folk music. And what happened is people walked into record stores in the Boston area and said, do you carry that record by Christine Lavin and Future Fossils? And the record stores didn't know anything about it. But they kept getting so many requests that when the Rounder rep came around, they asked him. And then the Rounder rep at the weekly meeting brought it up. Everybody's asking for this record by Christine Lavin. And the people who rejected it were like, oh!
Was that the best day of your life?
Well, it was quite interesting. And it's a nice story for people to hear, because it's a very hard business. And now it's harder than ever. But it shows that they said no, and then they ended up selling 800 of the first 2,000 vinyl records, and then I was suddenly out of stock, and I said, how do I repress? I didn't know what I was doing. And they said, you know what? We'll put it on our label, and then so they offered me a contract. And
good.
But it was so, for all you kids out there who are thinking of doing this, remember that it was no, yes.
Well, I do want to follow up then when you say, well, yes, the music business is hard, but harder than ever. Why?
A lot of it, because I travel a great deal. Just recently I was in Florida. I got out just before the hurricanes, which is good. I think the economics of the country right now, everybody's very tight with money. I know I am. I'm making less money than I made last year, so I'm being a little more careful about it. People, to go out to see a show is a luxury. You don't need to do this. I mean, it's good for your soul. We want you to come out, but if it's a choice.
Well, unless it's Michael Bolton, but yeah, okay.
If it's a choice between feeding your family and going out to a show, you have to feed your family first. So, but it's also very exciting in ways, because I've been meeting so many people who are musicians or just music fans who are creating their own scenes. I did a house concert in Colorado Springs. These people had 150 people in their living room, and they hire a guy with a sound system, and it was a really nice paycheck. I sold a lot of CDs, and I met just the greatest people in, of all places, Colorado Springs, which is very right-wing. The Air Force Academy's out there, the, you know, bastion of conservative Christians, but there's this great folk community based around, I don't even remember, well, her name is Whitney and his name is Dave. I don't remember their last names. And I was just out in Birmingham, Alabama. I performed at a place called Work Play, a beautiful performance space, and it's run by this woman named Mae Robertson. Have you heard of her?
Sorry, no.
Spell it Mae Robertson. Go to her website. She is a fabulous singer-songwriter in her own right, and she's created this scene in, of all places, Birmingham, Alabama. Again, a red state. And I was there on a, I'm trying to think what day of the week. It was like a Monday night. It was Monday night. And I had, you know, 200 people on a Monday night in Birmingham, Alabama, because this singer-songwriter is stopped waiting for somebody to come along and create a space for it. She's created it herself. So she MCs. And I asked her to do a song in the show, and she wouldn't. She goes, oh, they're so sick of me. I said, May, no, they're not. They love you. But she didn't want, I had never played there before. She didn't want me to give up any time in the show at all. But, and I feel like there's so many other people who are, it's this very grassroots kind of way, who are creating scenes for music. We have to just work a whole lot harder to connect with these people.
Do you have any feelings about now the switch in formats that, you know, I grew up in the record era and then into 8-track tape and cassettes, and then, okay, I made the switch to CDs, no problem, and now within 5 years it's probably going to be all digital and iPods and all that. Are you part of the iPod generation?
No, I don't have an iPod yet myself. But
or satellite radio or any of these new kind of...
Well, see, I've been doing shows for XM. I'm unpaid. But I'm doing a show called Slip Discs, and they're discs that people slip to me. Like, I'm going to do a whole show just on Mae Robertson from her. She gave me four of her albums. She gave me a record by a guy named Carl Carruthers. Hilarious songwriter. And I'm going to play him. So, but the thing is, you know, XM loves my shows, but they said, we are never, ever going to pay people to program the folk channel. But we love your shows, and we hope you'll still do them. They didn't say never. They said never, ever. So to me, it's like my hobby is to collect these CDs as I travel. It takes a lot of time, but the great thing is, the great thing with XM, and I'm so happy to, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe you shouldn't even,
I don't want to break in, but I had an interview with Oscar Brand earlier in the day, and he's been doing his show, the Folk Song Festival, on WNYC, National Public Radio, public radio station, for 60 years in December. He is free. He's never been paid a dime, and he's had to shell out money to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would figure at some point...
Well, with XM, the CDs that I play, they put them into their library, so I lose all my CDs, and I don't get paid. But to me, it is so worth it, because they do pay songwriting royalties. And yesterday I got a call from Eric Franz, and he got two checks in the mail, because when I played his stuff, I guess I must have mentioned, if you want to buy the record, send him a check. And they're doing it. And all these people write to XM, and they say, who is that, who is that? They send me the email. I write back and say, this is who it is. Here's their email. You can buy their CDs directly. So there's a guy named William Putman up in Alaska who is selling. He's never played in the lower 48, and yet he's selling CDs to people who hear him on XM. And now Eric Franz, and then today, Seat of the Pants Band, which is David Lutkin and Helen Russell. These are theater people who did Woody Guthrie's American Song.
Right.
I played their brand new record called the Seat of the Pants Band. And now all these people are writing in trying to get there, so I'm hooking them up. So it's really giving us a way. I think ultimately all of this satellite technology and with these little teeny-weeny little mini-nano iPods, they all need content. And that for people who are doing good music, and I'm so particular in the songs that I choose to play over these shows, that the good songwriters, if they can just hold on.
Well, easier said than done, but yeah.
Will eventually be able to find a much larger audience. And I think a lot of the mediocre stuff that is coming from the... Like, I'm so completely mystified at the success of Ashley Simpson. I mean, she humiliated herself on Saturday Night Live being caught lip-syncing, and I watch her, and I mean, I'm baffled. She's not a good singer. I don't think she really writes. She's not even pretty. She's got a pretty sister, and I'm thinking, why is she a star? What the hell is this all about?
Well, and I think you haven't noticed the bribery scandal that's been going on? Well,
see, I know. I read the book Hitman, and I know that you can pay off people to play anything, but you can't force people to buy it. People must be buying her records.
Well, if you play something 20 times and it's catchy in any way, it'll catch on. If something doesn't get played, it won't catch on. So that's...
I know, but still, I think... Because one of the songs that they talked about in Hitman was the song Jesse by Carly Simon. Because I remember that song was played...
It's a Joan Baez song, isn't it?
No, that's the Genesee.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
No, I love Carly Simon, but that song, I thought, that song sucks, man, but it's played so much. And then I read in Hitman, that was one of the songs that they had... were totally paid off to play, and that's where they said you can pay off anybody to play anything, but you can't force people to buy it. So that song, no matter how much it was promoted, it didn't become a hit. It didn't make a lot of money because, you know, ultimately wasn't a good song.
Well, first of all, I do want to thank Christine Lavin for giving me $100 before, and that was in order to play. What did you want to play? Make it worth it, because, you know, I normally charge $250, so...
Can I do a new song for you?
By all means, please.
Okay, this sort of relates to some of the things that we've been talking about, too. I've been writing songs for 41 years. I try to rhyme everything I see and I hear. But as I grow older, I don't know why, I'm writing songs that go off way too high. Why do I write songs I cannot sing well? Is this elevator music you might hear in hell? Why do I choose to humiliate myself writing songs I cannot sing well?
Poor Dave, you look like you're in pain. Should I stop?
No. Please continue.
I've been playing guitar since 1964. Yes, the year that the Beatles appeared on our shore. I was content strumming C, F, and G. What the hell has come over me? Why do I write guitar charts I cannot play well? Is this elevator music you might hear in hell? Why do I choose to humiliate myself? Writing guitar charts I cannot play well. I took 2 years of Spanish in high school. I think gringos who speak Espanol are muy cool. I dreamed of writing a song that contains Spanish lyrics. Maybe someday Antonio Banderas will hear it. Porque escribe yo canto no bueno. Esta música, elevatore del diablo, porque yo quiero humillar chacha, yo soy. ¿Qué hora es? Es tiempo, yo canto muy mal. Oh, it used to be easy to do what we did. Things are much harder than when we were kids. We drive ourselves crazy as we near the edge. Watch helplessly as some of us step off the ledge. Oh, why are we never satisfied with what we are? We push and we shove as we reach for the stars. We challenge each other to raise up that bar. Never satisfied with what we are. Oh, why do we write songs we don't understand? Who guides the pen that we hold in our hand? Like penguins marching across frozen land, we write songs we don't understand. Everybody now, la 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 la, in Spanish, la 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 la, in English. Ya, 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 ya. In Japanese. Ra, 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 ra.
I understood that. Why don't we, is that the name of the song? Why don't we, I write songs I can't
understand. Do we write songs we can't understand? And I had to throw in that little bit about the penguins marching. Did you see that movie?
I didn't see the movie. Yeah.
Like, why on earth is that the baby movie?
Like,
I mean, it's sweet. It's
you
like
see it on DVD,
film.
Did you?
No, I went to the real
big
movie
screen.
Theater.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's sort of indicative of the crazy times we're living in, that people love this movie. And it's just, it's about penguins hooking up and having little baby penguins and looking out for them. It's very, very sweet, but it's sort of puzzling to me. You know, why that film at this troubled time in the world? Why is that?
Exactly that film at this troubled time in the world. I mean, you can go to the movies and for an hour you can watch penguins. And penguins die in it, I think, so it's not happy.
Oh, my Lord, the little baby penguins. And then the mother, you know, marches 75 miles, whatever it is, and then goes swimming. And then a big seal comes along and eats
her. Oh, no.
And the father is back there, you know, holding the little egg between his feet. And then the mom gets eaten. She never comes back. And the egg dies. And the father, but of course, you know, the next mating season, he finds somebody else. You know how the penguins are.
That's right. Although he did hold a vigil. And, you know, there was benefit and songs for like, the homeless penguins and stuff. It was kind of neat after the 2000th penguin died. But, you know, tell me about Four Bitchin' Babes. How did that come along?
That was, I'm trying to think how that happened. I had this idea. In fact, it came to me in a dream in Cleveland, Ohio. I know that sounds weird, but that's how.
Nobody dreams in Cleveland, Ohio.
It was in June. It was like June 8, 1989, and I woke up and I said, I should put together an album of all winter songs that has nothing to do with Christmas. And I started working on it, and then we did a tour. It was John Gorka, David Wilcox, Patty Larkin, and me. And then the next summer, somebody said, you know, if you put maybe Alan Pepper, who owns the Bottom Line.
Or what was the Bottom Line,
He's negotiating with a new space, though.
Oh, hello.
The Upper West Side of Manhattan. That's all I know. He won't say exactly where it is, but it's the Upper West Side, which is my neighborhood. I'm hoping it's near me. But he said if you put four of the females who are together on the Anna Winter's Night record, that could be a summer tour. And so we started in Chicago, and we ended in Seattle. In Seattle, we sat down. It was Megan McDonough, Sally Fingerette, Patty Larkin, and me, and we figured out how much money we had spent and how much money we had made. We were 3,000 miles from home, and we had lost money. Holy crap!
You're supposed to make money on the road. You lose money on the album.
We lost money. We're 3,000 miles from home.
Oh, man.
So we had one more show, but it was in Washington, D.C. So we thought, you know what, maybe if we tape that show, because now we've done a bunch of shows, maybe we could sell that. Maybe we could, you know, go into the black. And I was most concerned about this because they, Sally and Megan, were married and Sally had a kid, and they were not in a position to lose money. Me as a single person, if I screw up and I don't make money, I'm not hurting a family. I'm just, you know, hurting myself. So we taped the show at the Birchmere, and on the cassette of that show, there was a misprint. It says, "The Four Bitchin' Babes live at the Birchmere."
I think that's Freudian. Somebody did that intentionally.
So that record came out, and it was purely our hope to make our money back, and somehow people started playing it, and they said, well, you're going to go on tour again? We're like, well, okay. But Patty, at this point, she had done enough girl groups. She didn't want to do it. But the great thing is that the Babes continues to this day.
Yeah, they're playing in, like, Long Island at some point in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, they just played in Port Washington.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
And it's Deirdre Flint. It's Sally Fingerette. She's the only original from the group. Debbie Smith, fabulous, plays Balron guitar. And oh, my gosh, it's so embarrassing. She's from Nashville. Nancy Moran.
Cool.
Nancy Moran. So,
but do you have privileges, like you get to join the Babes whenever you want to because you were a founder, or?
Well, I was supposed to do a reunion last year, and then I got sick. That was really, I was heartsick over that.
Oh.
But we're all good friends. There was never any big cat fight or anything like that.
Print it, copy it, same thing as a gift. All that and more at Unit Minuteman Press, your full-service printer, family-owned and operated since 1975. Photocopying, invitations, and grave gifts. Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Call 516-569-5577. 569-5577. On the web at HewlettMinutemanPress.com. Mention Dave's Gone By and get 10% off.
I like my comedy loud! I like my music even louder! I like my bands live in the studio! And I like Jimmy and Robin, Midnight Fridays on WGBB! And I love my cochlear implant!
More bad news. That's all you hear, bad news. But here's good news. Sunday nights at 7 on WGBB, Joe Salzone covers current events with humor and smarts on Worldview, a fast hour of interviews, news, and opinion, plus my weekly theater segment, Broadview. 7 p.m. Sundays, Worldview, and welcome to it.
Hi, this is Christine Lavin, and guess what? You're listening to Dave's Gone By, but I have to ask you, what were you thinking?
By the way, I have to say, you mentioned that you're a single person, but I noticed you got a rock on your finger there.
Oh, my boyfriend gave me that. And he gave it to me. I said, you know, this looks like an engagement ring. He goes, it does.
He didn't even know. He didn't realize that.
No, he's a knucklehead, so.
But most men are, yeah.
He's my knucklehead.
How did you guys meet?
I love him. Believe it or not, I was a wandering minstrel in a Mexican restaurant. And in 1976, and
oh my God, this goes back.
I know.
Oh.
This is I want to do an album called or a show called Perpetually Engaged.
So that you had the same boyfriend for, you know.
Yeah, there were a couple times we broke up in between. Because, you know, John Gork and I went out for a while. Did you know we were engaged?
No.
I didn't even bring it up because it was like we were insane. But he was a customer and I was a wandering minstrel. In a Mexican restaurant. And it's so funny because you heard my Spanish.
Yeah.
Por qué? Escribe. Do you speak any Spanish?
Un poquito from La Escuela Secundaria. That's it. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that's about what
Those are the four words I know, except for the ones I can't say on the radio.
Well, I could say, tú es caballero guapo. When I was in Tampa, I crowned this guy, because I crown the best-looking man in every show that I do. And I said to him, what is your name? And he said, Nelson Vargas. And I was like, oh, my God. So I got to say to him, Nelson Vargas, tú eres caballero guapo. That means you are such a fine gentleman.
And that worked.
Oh, he loved it. But then, and when I did the song, I've been using this song as my encore. I mean, assuming, hoping I get one, you know. Why do we write songs? And then when it came to the part about 2 years of Spanish in high school, I dreamed of writing a song that contains Spanish lyrics. Maybe someday Nelson Vargas will hear it. He was so proud. And it's so much fun to sing that song because when I hold out that note so long, so loud, so wrong, people are like, well, like our friend Joe sitting over here was covering his ears.
Well, Joe doesn't like anything, so that's just some occasional McDonald's hamburger. But,
do you have
a
girlfriend, Joe? Well, we'll see what we can do about that. There's lots of girls looking for guys who've got problems.
Oh, you talk about problem. He was a right-wing conservative Republican when I first met him.
No!
Swear to God.
That's okay. You know, my grandfather was a Republican.
I don't know what he's talking about. It's
honest to God, true. And then, like, a year after I knew him, he's like, I'm not a Republican anymore. I don't like those people. And I was like, yes, thank you, Joe. Yeah, that's true. Oh, gosh. More questions. Do you have a little more time with us before you got to hit the
thing?
Good.
I don't know if I could do, well, I mean, I could do something else again live, except it's a song that should I try to do it?
You can try. If it
okay.
If it comes out really terrible, I'll do it on the black market and blackmail you.
Okay. That's a nice thought. You know, interestingly, Dave Van Ronk said that it's very hard to write a good political song, and it's very easy to write a bad one. So it's it's very interesting because our politics, our political situation is so volatile and so changing. And with having 24-hour news, it's really hard to write about it. But Dave, there is a segment of our society who I really feel has been trod upon just a little too much. And I've written a song because I'm hoping this will help them. So here we are. It's 3 degrees Fahrenheit, snow has fallen down. People are huddled in doorways all over town. Stamping their feet to keep warm, blowing on their hands. It's sad to see such misery in such a wealthy land. The land, such a wealthy land. Some speak English, some speak...
See, I'm writing songs I can't sing or play.
Yeah, this is a new one. This is on the new album too. This is on the song.
This is on the Dr. Demento record. Some speak English, some speak French, some Spanish and Japanese. They've got more in common than a shivering in their knees. All of them are slave to the demon cigarette. This song is about people who smoke, if you haven't figured that out yet. Smokers are the new street people, you see where you go. Coughing, hacking, lighting up in the wind and the rain and the snow. In the fog and the hail and the dust and the heat. Dirtying our city streets. Cigarette smokers have become the uptown equivalent of the Bowery bum. Bum, 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 bum. I can hear you smokers out there getting mad at me. I can hear you. But come on, we've tried everything to get you to quit. We've begged, we've pleaded, we've read you gruesome statistics, and still you smoke. Think of this song as tough love. Tough love. It's only a matter of time before street vendors get wise. It's hard enough selling hot dogs without that smoke getting in their eyes. And in their lungs, and in their hair, and the buns, and the hot dog meat. They'll ask the city to pass a law to ban smoking on the street. The street. No smoking on the street. If they can't smoke on the street or in the buildings up above, where will smokers go to partake of what they love? Restaurants? No. Bars? Taxi cabs? No way. Smokers are the most oppressed minority today. Smokers are the new street people, you see where you go. Coughing, hacking, lighting up in the wind and the rain and the snow. In the fog and the hail and the dust and the heat. Dirtying our city streets. Cigarette smokers have become the uptown equivalent of the Bowery bum. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Next time you see a smoker, pity her, pity him. Their bad habits kept them on the outside looking in. All the willpower and nicotine patches haven't held a bit. In summer they wheeze, in winter they freeze, and still they just don't quit. Don't quit. Oh, they just don't quit. Years ago I saw a bumper sticker I still recall today. It said, kissing a smoker is just like licking a dirty ashtray. If that doesn't make you think twice about how smoking offends, go lick a dirty ashtray and tell me, would you want to do that again? No, again, never do that again, Smokers are the new street people, you see where you go. Coughing, hacking, lighting up in the wind and the rain and the snow. In the fog and the hail and the dust and the heat. Dirtying our city streets. Cigarette smokers have become the uptown equivalent of the Bowery. Bum, 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 bum. Tough love.
Little tough love there from Christine Levin, letting out her inner bitch on Dave's Gone By.
You know what? The first time I ever sang that song, I'll never forget it. And it was much slower. And it was such a work in progress. I even had the lyrics in front of me. It was at the Birchmere in Washington, D.C. It's a big festival. Everybody's doing two songs. And me, what kind of an idiot in front of 500 people does a song they don't know with the lyrics in front of them? And as soon as they came to the chorus, and I felt this tension in the audience, and I was like, oh, my God, this is not working. What was I thinking? And so the song got, like, golf applause, and this woman came up to me in the lobby afterwards. She goes, you know, Missy, you should think twice before you sing a song like that here in Virginia. In Virginia, tobacco is a state vegetable.
So I thought,
that's, by the way, that is another name of a Christine Lavin song, as is Inner Bitch. You gotta understand, folks, this woman has 17 or so albums out, every one a treasure. Well, pretty, I mean, I don't know if I've heard
so
every
nice
17, but they probably are. I know there's gems
them,
throughout.
Yeah, some of them get sold for a lot of money on eBay, especially.
Oh, good, because I brought a bunch for you to sign. You know, when we're done here today, also, goes right on the auction block. Right? Even that or Craigslist, I don't know which one to do. But let me ask you, talking about live performances and all that, mm-hmm. what was, like, the very, very best, most special live stage performance that you ever gave, and what was the worst, most disastrous experience? I love asking that question.
Oh, have I got it. The worst. Wait, first I should...
The nice one. First the nice one.
Actually, I got to say, my most thrilling time to be on stage, I mean, it's kind of sad now I think about it, but it was, I think it was November 25th, 2001, and it was at the Bottom Line in New York City. We did a benefit concert to raise money for Dave Van Ronk, who was in the hospital. And I worked with Alan Pepper on the show. It was Peter, Paul, and Mary, Arlo Guthrie, and Tom Paxton. And Arlo Guthrie played at Carnegie Hall the night before with big orchestra, because it was the day, it was the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. Arlo does a big thing at Carnegie Hall every Thanksgiving. And Peter, Paul, and Mary had never played The Bottom Line.
Wow.
And when we, you know, I called up because I knew the performers. I mean, I'm just thrilled that I actually can call from Peter, Paul, Mary.
Sure.
And Arlo.
Apparently, Mary's actually having some serious illness right now.
But you know what though? She's they're playing December 9th at Carnegie Hall. I bought my tickets, even though I have a gig on December 9th.
Oh, I thought she had taken the turn for the worse. No, she's
in April. She had a bone marrow transplant. You know what? That's why I brought this newspaper. I forgot there was a reason I want to show it to you, because there's a really nice. Article about her. Did I do something?
We just don't want you to hurt your guitar.
Oh, it's all right. It's my.
Oh, this is the crappy guitar you use for Long Island.
No. The thing is, it's my other guitar. Where is this thing?
Christine Lavin is flipping through the Daily News as we speak.
David Hinckley wrote a really nice thing. She had a bone marrow transplant in April, and it worked.
Oh,
and,
wow!
And I set up an email that doesn't exist anymore. It's called getwellmary@aol.com and asked people to send jokes for Mary Travis because she loves jokes. And she is so much better. And she's lost a lot of weight. She's been working with a personal trainer 3 times a month. So I'm going to be sitting in row Q on the side at Carnegie Hall the night, because I had this other thing I'm supposed to do, some John Lennon tribute, and I said they have to put me on early so I can run over to Carnegie Hall. Here it is!
Yay!
Don't fret, folk star Travers on the Mend.
On the Mend. For many years, Peter, Paul, and Mary have played a Christmas and Hanukkah concert at Carnegie Hall this year, December 9th, and that's actually a day before...
It's Friday.
Right. Friday. The show will also have a strong touch of Thanksgiving. And will be 7 months and 2 weeks since Mary Travers had bone marrow transplant, by which she's fighting off acute myelogenous, I'll get that sometime, leukemia. She's 69 years old.
Well, she probably is pissed off that they wrote her age. Women don't like that.
Well, maybe she's 71 and she tells them, yeah. She's been 69 for the past 5 years, that kind of thing. Well,
so,
thank you for sharing.
And it's also going to be with the 160 Voice New York Chorale and with a full orchestra. And so it's a Christmas Hanukkah.
I remember seeing one of their holiday shows a few years ago. It was
people
lovely.
And you actually call Carnegie Hall. You don't call Ticketron or one of those places to get tickets. And there might be some left. They've been sailing really fast.
Well, sure.
So
well, sure.
If you're hearing this now, you want to go to the show, stop what you're doing and call Carnegie Hall and get your tickets.
Right. Well, after you've listened to the end of my show, and go for the
phone. So the show that you were talking about.
We
were putting that show together, and Alan Pepper wanted to charge $40 for tickets. And I said, you know what? People love Dave, and this is Arlo Guthrie and Tom Paxton, Peter, Paul, and Mary. They've never done a show this combination. I think it should be $50. And Alan said, I really do. And they both shows sold out in advance. And it raised something like $34,000 for Dave in one day. And it was, and people asked me, they said, are you going to do a song in the show? And I said, no, that's not where people are. I was in the finale. We had a whole bunch of people on stage. But I felt I was emceeing. And for $50,
you know, people didn't, they weren't coming to see me, and I just felt...
Well, but then we would have loved to hear, did you tell about learning guitar from him, or you could have played a song that he taught you, or something like
that?
Oh,
well, yeah, but But that, I just remember being backstage, and we had raffle tickets, Matt Umanoff donated two guitars, and and Frank Christian donated guitar lessons, and it was so much fun, and that was, and it's funny because really that's my proudest moment on stage, and I wasn't actually singing. I was just instrumental putting the night together, but that's really my happiest moment. Now, the worst.
And it's funny, when you said 2001, I thought, oh, it's going to be a 9/11 thing, but it turned out to be a Dave Van Ronk thing.
You
know?
You know what, though? Dave, he lived close to Ground Zero, and the air was so bad that they had to keep giving him prednisone so that they could operate on him. And large doses of prednisone over a long period of time compromise your immune system and end up dying from an infection. So in a way, I still think of it as like collateral damage from 9/11 because...
Probably was on some level.
You know, the pipe organ in that church down by Ground Zero had to be replaced. The pipes were destroyed by the air. And that's why when people say that there's no such thing as, you know, some illness that people, the workers got from Ground Zero, if the pipe organ was destroyed by the air, imagine what it did to human lungs. So, anyway.
Anywho.
But that was, you know.
Look enough death and destruction. Let's hear something funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Opening for Joan Rivers in Palm Beach, though I think of it as Bomb Beach.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
But you could play to that audience. You have funny songs.
The stars, the cards were stacked against me. It was billed as An Evening with Joan Rivers.
Okay.
And it was sold out as An Evening with Joan Rivers. And then turns out her show is 75 minutes long, which is typical for, you know, that kind of performer. And so they wanted a 30-minute opener, and they said, don't worry, we'll put your name in the marquee and we'll put a thing in the program, which they did neither. I got to say, Joan Rivers and her people were so nice to me. But this is what they told me.
How long ago was this, by the way?
7 years, maybe.
Okay.
So what happened is, they said, Joan Rivers is going to introduce you, so when you hear her say your name, immediately walk out. So I'm standing in the wings, and they make this announcement, ladies and gentlemen, please turn off all cell phones and cam, no taking pictures. And then you hear Joan Rivers' voice. She goes, oh, hi, everybody. Well, now we're going to have an opening act. This is the best I can find in my price range. Your name is Christine Lavin. So I heard my name, and they said, as soon as you hear your name, walk out.
No.
So I walk out, and I'm standing there, and she's still talking. It's just her voice. She's backstage.
Yeah,
they can't see her.
Oh, yeah.
And because where I'm standing, I can't understand what it's like. And she's going on and on, and I'm standing there and standing there and standing there. And then she goes, so please welcome Christine Lavin. They meant the second time to walk out.
Yeah.
So I start out there, and people have, and I see them rippling through the program like, who the hell is this? What? And so I started to play, and it was really, it started off as like golf applause. And then I made a really big error. I played Bald Headed Men. And there were a lot of guys there with rugs on their heads. And I actually went out.
Miami. Or,
I spied on the audience. It was Palm Beach. It's even worse than that. And I saw there were a lot of guys there who had toupees and ball gowns. And I thought, oh, they'll like the song. Well, that was like death. Mm-hmm. And then I could see that the light from was hitting my guitar and was like people were sort of squinting as the light hit them. So I'm trying to move around in a way that I'm not hitting one person all the time. And I realize, oh, my God, I'm moving like a spaz. I wonder if they think there's something wrong with me. I better explain. So I said to them, I'm sorry. I know I'm moving sort of funny, but I see the light. My guitar is hitting you in the eyes. I'm trying to blind you all equally. I'm trying to blind you all equally. That's not what I meant, but that's what I said.
Well, that's a good line, though.
They already hate me. And they're going, now you're trying to blind them. And then the cat calls, trying to go, get off the stage!
No.
Oh, yeah. Who are you? We're Joan Rivers. We love Joan Rivers. We hate you. Spare us. Oh, I promised Joan's people that I would do 30 minutes.
The full, yeah.
Because that's what they wanted. And it never occurred to me that maybe I should walk off. So it was just that.
Oh, that's
it went
brutal.
Out of, but then at the very end, I twirl batons. And I twirl batons that glow in the dark. And all the lights are supposed to go off, but the lights didn't go off. So I'm twirling and twirling these lit batons in full light. And finally, I mean, I was so exasperated, but I was so lucky I was still alive and even through. I threw the baton up as high as I could possibly throw it, and at the very, very, very top of its trajectory, the lights went off. And the baton came down, and I caught it. And I got this mock applause.
Yay! Get up! Yay! Get up!
Walk off the stage. I go to my dressing room, and I started to cry. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God. Because my agent said, oh, this will be so wonderful. Joan's going to love you. She's going to take you all over the world performing with her. So I'm in the dressing room, and I'm crying. And then the producer of the show comes in and goes, oh, Christine, you were wonderful. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, don't let a few rude people ruin it for you. You were wonderful. I said, I was there. I was there. Say it. Hey, to me. He goes, would you like to go down and say hello to Joan before she goes? I was like, no, no, no. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. So I ran back to the hotel. I flew back to New York the next day, and three times the promoter left messages. Christine, Joan Rivers came out on stage and said, wasn't Christine Lavin wonderful? Oh, and there was such a roar of approval. I called them back and said, look, I was there. You're a very nice man.
Very nice of him to say it.
So that was.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
What I think of it as Bomb Beach.
And the fact that this happened not like when you were first starting your career, that's really like. I mean, people should have known who you were.
Well,
sure
that
they said.
Out. Not, you know, well, if you think about it, probably the median age was 80. And all the women look like Nancy Reagan. And all the guys look like that, you know, they're all with their those little rugs on their heads and their little suits. Oh, I was it was just but you know what though, I seem to have gigs like that maybe once every 2 or 3 years where it reminds me how lucky I am to play for audiences who like the music that I do, that it's a cold, cruel world out there when you step out of your comfort zone. It would be very nice if you could, you know, people could just like you've never seen you before. But I think when you're psyched up to hear A Night of Joan Rivers, you know, because
well,
your humor is very like,
yeah, sure.
And my songs are, they're not, you know, if they're funny, it's not hit you over the head funny, and it's not every 30 seconds or every 10 seconds.
Well, some of your songs, I mean, not to, this is a good thing. Some of your songs are quite funny and quite, you know, going all the way back to, oh, I didn't even mention, my gosh, on not your first book, I think your second album, you have a song called The Amoeba Hop.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
the first song of yours I really ever heard.
Really?
And I always love it. It's a sweet, funny song, and it's not just a song anymore.
It's a children's book.
That's put out by...
It's Puddle Jump Press,
mm-hmm.
and that's the imprint is owned by Betsy Francofini, who's the illustrator. And the song was written in 1980, and this book came out in 2003. And this year, in January of 2005, it received a Best Book Award from the American Association for the Advancement of Science because it's absolutely scientifically accurate. There's 4 pages of real science in the back of the book. And for students, it's the yellow pages that just before the music.
Oh, okay, I'm flipping through the book as she's talking. Yeah.
That's the.
Oh, there we go. Oh.
Science. And.
Shows you actually how to make a knapsack bomb. This is so cool.
Don't make jokes.
No,
it's
so okay.
You are sick.
Thank
but
you.
I like it. I like that.
You have no idea. Okay.
But it took 23 years from the song being written to turning into a kids' book. And over that period of time, every once in a while I would get a letter from a school teacher who would just use the song with her. I got the cutest letter from this one teacher. She had 4th graders, and they took the song Yaniba Hop, and she broke them into 4 teams. And each team was assigned a different one-celled creature.
Oh.
They had to make costumes based on that one-celled creature and then do a dance to the Amoeba Hop song based on the movements of those one-celled creatures. And they actually had an Amoeba Hop in their classroom and had a contest and crowned
the
winner.
Oh, did they take pictures? Did you see any of it?
No, but
they've
drawn pictures and sent me pictures, some kids who really like that. But now there's an actual real book.
It's a lovely book. It's the illustrations are adorable, and it's the lyrics of the song that accompany
the
book.
The CD's in the front, so it's a CD single. And if people are interested, they can go to my website, which is ChristineLavin.com, or they can go directly to Betsy, which is PuddleJumpPress.com, and they can get it directly from Betsy. And she's a calligrapher, so she can also, you know, autograph it.
Oh, that's sweet.
puddle of muddy water left there after the rain. I got down on my knees, I looked close. I saw things I couldn't explain. There was all these itty bitty teeny weeny little tiny creatures swimming and slashing about. I put my ear down to that puddle, I could hear one of them shout. We're going to the Amoeba Hop, everybody's gonna be there. Got my eye on a cute paramecium, you know the one with the wavy hair. Rockin' and rollin', shaking ourselves, and flapping up the jello all over. Well, the good times don't never gonna stop when you go to the Amoeba Hop. That's what I heard. I mean it. Then I spied a sharp protozoan swinging all by himself. He was looking for a partner to shake the leg with, but everyone was dancing with everybody else, so he was so lonely. So Mother Nature showed him what to do. He boogied down, he did a little binary fish on, split himself in two, and now he's got a partner to the Amoeba Hop. Everybody's gonna be there. My oh, nuclear life, have you ever seen such perfect fair? Rockin' and rollin', shaking themselves, laughing and silly all over. Well, the good times don't never gonna stop when you go to the Amoeba Hop. Good times don't never gonna stop when you go to the Amoeba Hop. Some folks think the one-celled animals don't know how to swim. People who say that are wrong, cause I saw a band of algae get up there and sing. But to them it's a monster song, and the bundle was jumping, so was I guess I lost my head. In my excitement I splashed it dry. Oh my God, I thought they were dead, but no, they just come splashing down right here to my head. And sure enough, I could still hear that swinging algae band. We're going to the Amoeba Hop. Everybody gonna be there. Got my eye on a cute paramecium. Oh, look at the hair, girls. Look at the hair. Rockin' and rollin', shaking ourselves, blossom to the podium all over. Well, the good times don't never gonna stop when you go to the Amoeba Hop. Good times don't never gonna stop when you go to the Amoeba Hop. Good times don't never
go to the Amoeba Hop. Wait, did he just say these are the Daves?
These are the Daves.
He did. Van Morrison is singing about Daves Gone By and the CDs we have of the show. Dozens of complete episodes available on cassette and CD. $12 apiece, shipping included, and cheaper if you buy more. And add a dollar each for an autograph. Visit davesgoneby.org to get these gracious presents today.
Your gracious presents!
D is for Dave, F is for fun, S is for silly and special, X is for excellent entertainment, DFSX, Internet Radio, playing vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By, Thursday nights at 8 and 11. It's part of Live 365, but all you've got to do is visit davesgoneby.org. Click the link and listen online to classic Dave's Gone By, Thursdays 8 and 11. DFSX, letters that stand for terrific! Sponsor me, Dave's Gone By. Run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
Hi, this is Christine Lavin. Either you've gone crazy and you're hearing voices in your head, or you're listening to the radio, and I hope that's the case. It's AM 1240 WGBB. Dave's Gone By.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. Thank you so much for spending your Thanksgiving with me. And thank you a zillion times to the talented and funny and lovable Christine Lavin. And you know what? We're not quite done. I want to hear more music. I want to hear more stories from this super lady, don't you? So let's do it one more time next week. I can't devote another whole show just because I'm backed up with other material, but when the guest is this good, you gotta make the time. So Christine Lavin, one more time next week, December 1st. I'm so thankful for her presence on this Thanksgiving. Thankful also to some other people who make this show possible. As I mentioned, it's our 150th program tonight, so I must give my usual nod to Program Director Tom Ross and Station Manager Jeff Lowe, and to my amazing and adorable wife, Joyce. And appreciation to my sponsors, Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine, Hewlett Minuteman Press, The Copy Kings, and MortgagesRock.com. It's always great to have a new sponsor, and Andy Leibowitz, who founded MortgagesRock.com, believes in this show. He loves local radio, and his business is building. I pass his office every day, and they keep adding desks and telephones and equipment. People are making money, and they're helping folks get loans for houses and colleges and renovations. It's an all-in-one mortgage origination package that anyone can take part in. MortgagesRock.com. And I thank them for coming on board with Dave's Gone By. Some other folks who've more than earned my gratitude this year: Joe Salzone, who has me on his Worldview show nearly every week talking about Broadway, that's Sunday nights at 7. Jimmy and Robin, who trade promos with me for their show Friday nights at midnight. Vic Fusco. Now, he has a bunch of shows on the station, and he really came through for me in a pinch this year. So, everybody, listen to Labor Lines, Country Music in Exile, Swing City Vic. Thank you, Vic. I owe ya. Thanks to the folks at Long Island Press, the Long Island Improper, Long Island Woman, New York Theater News. How did that one get in there? All these places that publish my articles and reviews. Gratitude also to my family, Mom and Dad, who are also there during a difficult time, and my aunts and uncles and cousins, my good friends, all the critics I know, some who have been on this show, and anyone who wishes me well or has done right by me, and all of you listening to and supporting this program. Muchas gracias. Sincere and heartfelt thanks. And please know that I mean it, because next week I go back to being a cynical son of a bitch. But until then, thank you. And thanks also for listening to my other show on WGBB, Filler Up, a full hour of music chosen by me, thankfully, just an hour from now. And right now, something else to be grateful for, an older episode of Dave's Gone By, from 8 to 9, streaming on live365.com, Internet Radio. Just go to my website, davesgoneby.org, click the link, and listen. And of course, listen to Lavin back next week, December 1st, 2005, the 151st edition of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night, happy Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving, and happy to thank Lavin, and gone by.
Katie says, today is the best day of my whole entire life. Katie is 3 years old. We've been dancing in the living room to her new Tom Paxton record. Katie's got a lot of rhythm when she wiggles for a little kid. She's got four. That night when her mom and dad come home, I tell them what she said to me. I figure they'll think I'm some kind of babysitting genius to make this little girl so darn happy. But they smile and they say, don't take this the wrong way, but Katie said the same thing yesterday. Lately she's been saying that every day. I think back to what I know, it's the best day of my life. It was winter time 10 years ago. We were staying in a farmhouse in the middle of Vermont. The hills were covered with Christmas trees and freshly fallen snow. Instead gently I picture the vivid details of that day when you told me that you loved me more than you could ever say. The air was a bracing cold, the sky is startled blue. Never before or still have I felt that close to you. What does that say about you and me in the past 10 years? I've learned to live with your silence. You've learned to overlook my tears. Now this dancing free unfolds in a simple, perfect way. Has me questioning the basis for